The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I'm very nervous for you. Don't blow this.
Polly just told me that later this hour, I'll be tossing it to Don Orsillo.
Merrill Madness!
Could you promise not to do it in your southern accent and just in your normal voice?
Oh, you guys want to hear?
Yeah. How about the newest edition of Southern Ben?
Yeah. So this was right before we went to traffic, right before we had Brett Boone on in our 8 o'clock hour. We were coming back with some Led Zeppelin. And Ben gave us this.
Is that Robert Plant?
Yes. Who? Plant?
Robert Plant.
Plant?
Plant.
You've been listening to Morgan Wallen's new double album? What's happening
to
you?
That's not.
Is
that Robert Plant?
Robert Plant.
That's not Southern. That's My Touch of Yuma.
That's Southern.
Since when?
Tell my relatives in Yuma.
Is
that Robert Plant? Plant.
What?
Is that Robert
Plant? South.
They call me Ban. They call me Ban.
Ban.
Plant.
They sound like J.D. Ben.
Ben. Not quite, though. It's slightly different.
That's how he says it, Ben.
South Arizona. It's not the Texas Rangers.
It comes out of him. It comes out of you more than it comes out of me. And I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You should hear how my family talks.
That's Yuma.
They call washers, washers. So, yes.
The Texas Rangers
will be washing your clothes tonight. That's how they talk.
I think, is that Robert Plant?
Plant?
I think Victor Hovland wins the award for weirdest accent.
Correct.
He's the Norwegian who went to Oklahoma State, I believe.
I thought he went to Tech, didn't he?
Or did he went to Texas
Tech? To Texas
Either
Tech.
Way, he talks with the Scandinavian, but with a southern drawl.
Southern Scandinavian.
English. He speaks English.
That's really good, man. Yeah, I get that Yuma is the South. I get it. But I don't hear that type of accent when I go to Yuma, like when I go to Mr.
I mean, G's. I didn't grow up there, but right. I had a lot of relatives who spoke like that growing up.
Robert Plant.
So maybe it's
I hear plaint, like plaint. The plaintiff
plaint.
Or something.
Plaint. Is that Robert Plant?
Plaint?
Plant. Plant. I just stretched the A a little bit. Plaint.
Can you Photoshop a thing of hay in his mouth?
Is that Robert Plant?
Old hayseed Ben. So good.
It's like that song. Remember that song we played from some guy at like a festival? Was like, Ban, you're
Ban,
my friend.
Ban,
you're
my friend.
My friend.
Friend.
Ban,
you're my friend. Friend to the very end. Yep, love that
song. Is
that
song. Robert Plant?
Robert Plant. I love when Southern Ben comes out. You'd think, like, for me, like, if I had a few beers or something, maybe the Southern accent would come out. But for you, it's just you didn't have a few beers, as far as I know.
I have not.
I'm still thrown off by the Yuma accent.
I am too.
I don't think that exists.
No, it does. It does.
All right. People are agreeing with them. Let's learn something new every day. Robert Plant.
Never heard a Yuma accent any of the times that we've gone through Yuma.
That's true. But I've never heard it from him. Oh, just the one, the Texas Rangers.
Maybe it's the farm folk of Yuma.
Maybe.
Maybe it's not really about being in the South. It's about growing up like on the farm.
Yeah, maybe. Old Jethro Higgins.
Where that accent comes from.
In our chat, Trey from Yuma here. No accent.
No accent.
This is old school.
Yuma is not the South.
They're southern Arizona.
Very South Arizona. You can't get much more South in Arizona than Yuma.
Right.
Well, you should say again, San Diego in me.
San Diego's
south.
Very South, too.
That's true. We don't talk that way here. We talk like this.
I got it.
Taco.
Taco.
Let's get tacos. I do it now, too. It's mortifying. They don't even have any taco sauce. That's how I sound now, living here. It's crazy. Let's get tacos for dinner. I like when it comes out. It makes me happy. Southern Ben makes me
glad I can oblige. Glad I can oblige.
Oblige. Now, see, don't try to do it. Don't try to do it. You have to let it come out.
Texas.
Texas.
The Texas Rangers.
The weirdest thing. You're like Brian Kelly, dude. He turns into Brian Kelly. We're going to take him to Philly in July. He's going to be like, hey, where's the water here? What's the scenario? Where's the scenario? Give me my phone. It's going to be hysterical.
Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started. and I haven't even won all my games yet.
Ben Higgins.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
Tiger.
A Tiger.
This is Brian like Kelly from Massachusetts.
Yeah, he's from Boston.
I'm here with my family.
It's the effing greatest audio ever played.
Bro, we did like an hour.
We did an hour straight on that.
When that came out, I remember it was like the off-season. It was like, because, yeah, he was at an LSU basketball game just getting announced as the new head coach.
Correct.
It was like November or December, and we're like, thank you to the Lord.
Thank you, content gods, for raining this down upon us.
And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
Sounds like the Louisiana governor. Y'all meet me down in New Orleans. It's so good, dude. God, it killed me. It killed me. All right,
well, you're going to be working with Kim Mulkey. You got to sound like
Yeah, I guess you do. All right. Yeah, that's I love when it comes out. So don't think about it. Just let it come out naturally.
Victor Hovland went to Oklahoma State. Ludwig Oberg went to Texas Tech.
That's right. That's right.
All right. If you missed it, we are getting ready for the Jackson Merrill news conference. The Padres have called it for 9:30. We're going to toss it down to Don Arcillo, your master of ceremonies. We'll hear from A.J. Preller, Jackson Merrill, and then our Sam Levitt's going to do some one-on-one interviews. So that's all coming up commercial-free. Here at the bottom of the hour, after Jackson Merrill agreed to a 9-year, $135 million contract extension with some incentives and escalators that can bump that up to 10 years, over $200 million. But buying out the first 5 years of his free agency after this year, and then 4 more years of team control. So Jackson Merrill
Brilliant.
In a Padres uniform through the 2034 season. 10 more years of Jackson Merrill, at least, in San Diego with a club option that can become a player option in 2035 for Jackson Merrill. Of course, last night, Merrill hit his first home run of the season, an absolute tank to the right center field, deep, deep part of the ballpark at Petco Park. Put the Padres on the board, because I like to go deep, deep. 1-0 over the Guardians, and they ended up winning 7-0 to improve to a franchise all-time best, 6-0.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
I think it's interesting. Now, I have no idea if Jason Hayward got all of his ball, Jackson Merrill, comparatively, but big, strong Jason Hayward, who thought he got his.
Different night.
Different night, clearly, but still cold,
clearly.
And still April, and still messy, that anyone with the power to go to the beach, you know, that area of Petco Park at night in April, that's plenty of power to have a 30 to 40 home run season, in my mind.
Pretty interesting stat here from Friar Talk at Padres Pod. Says Juan Soto will make $61 million next season. Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, and Jackson Merrill will combine to make $60.8 million. I think I'd rather have the trio. As much as I love Juan Soto, yeah, I'm going to take those three for the same price over one Juan Soto.
It's interesting. You had the thought, and you brought up Juan Soto, that, you know, you're always going to revisit that trade and, you know, watch how C.J. Abrams and
James Wood
do.
Mackenzie Gore
had a great first start of the season, and go, all right, you got Juan Soto. You converted him into Michael King and helped you win some games. But maybe the biggest win now of that trade, the biggest win for A.J. Preller, is that he would not include Jackson Merrill.
Correct.
When requested by the Washington Nationals in that deal. He made it happen without including Jackson Merrill. And I think us at the time would have gone, oh, Juan Soto, yeah, I mean, Jackson Merrill, who knows what we're going to have with that, but if you can get Juan Soto, you have to include Jackson Merrill in that deal. And he wouldn't. He would not give up Jackson Merrill, and that's specifically been reported that was an ask by the Washington Nationals, and they had to come up with a way to get Juan Soto without including Jackson Merrill, because AJ just wouldn't do it, would not give up Jackson Merrill, and now we see exactly why. Wouldn't give up Jackson Merrill in that deal.
Yeah, I mean, tough enough to give up James Wood, who I saw him hit a tank the other day. I don't know how else he's doing. I haven't been following much with the Nationals, what they've been doing. But obviously saw Mackenzie Gore's stellar opening day performance. C.J. Abrams, I think he's playing okay. Yeah, man, but you had years of Juan Soto. You really expected to win a World Series with him there. It didn't work, but like you said, you were able to flip him for pieces that helped you get not only Michael King, but you also got you Dylan Cease, Ben, when you moved Thorpe to Chicago.
Yep.
So, yeah, I couldn't. I'm not going to look back at that one in anger, really, ever.
It's almost impossible now to try to keep track of all the branches of the trees of the AJ Preller moves? I mean, last night,
Joey Cantillo
came into the game. I go, I remember distinctly having about 2 weeks of Ben and Woods discussion during the pandemic. Should they trade Joey Cantillo?
No, you got to keep Joey Cantillo. Are you kidding? Are you out of your mind?
Cantillo.
Left-hander?
Who did they trade him for? Was it in the Clev deal? I don't even remember.
I think so.
I don't think it was even brought up on the broadcast last night that he was a former Padre.
I think Mudd and Dunn forgot.
Joey Cantillo. We had a serious week or two where we were like wringing our hands about the possibility of losing Joey Cantillo, who is now just eating innings in the back of the Guardians bullpen 5 years later in 2025. Saw last night, Graham Pauly had two RBI and a double
for the
Miami Marlins in their win last night.
He's up again,
and he helped the Marlins beat the Mets last night 4-2. You can't turn your head.
You can't.
Turn on a Major League Baseball game anywhere. There's going to be a prospect that AJ Preller traded away in that game somewhere.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, he's just done so much of it over 10 years all over the place. So, yeah. Brandon says it was the Clevinger, but he now calls that the Waldron trade because Matt Waldron was the player to be named later that the Padres acquired in the Joey Cantillo deal to the Cleveland Guardians.
Boy, they let him rot. They let him rot out there last night a little bit. Foo Friars with a great question here. Can I just ask you guys, how does it feel to finally get news like this during the open and not after the show? Bro, you have no idea how good that felt this morning. Now, it threw us for a loop a little bit. We had all this other, you know, we had another direction we were going to go. But one thing we do okay is kind of rolling with the punches. And those were good punches to get at 5:58 this morning.
Take those anytime.
I'll take those anytime they want to do it. It was pretty special to be a part of. Again, we were a part of Manny when he signed here, and we were part of Juan Soto when he was traded here, and now we were a part of the Jackson Merrill contract extension, which is great. It was great. Right before the show started, man, we were losing our minds. It was really cool.
The San Diego FC just announced an acquisition as well, picking up an attacker, Milan Iloski, from sister club FC Nordsjælland. So they've got another home game coming up this week. Not quite the Jackson Merrill impact, maybe, in terms of names, but we're a new soccer community.
That's true.
They just dropped that news as well. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll set the stage because we will not have any more commercials, I believe, after this one this hour. So we'll talk you right up to the Jackson Merrill news conference at 9:30. And we will also look ahead to today's game. Remember, we got a day game today as well. The homestand finale to open the season. See if the Padres can go 7-0. So we will talk about that coming up as well after traffic. More Ben and Woods on the way here on 97.3 The Fam.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
And after that game, you're heading down to Petco Park this afternoon. Maybe plan on heading down to 7 Mile Casino for dinner and some card playing action at San Diego's best card room.
Great place to go. Pre-game, post-game, it's a smoke-free environment. They got California-style blackjack there, which always makes for a good time. Friendly dealers, no slot machines ringing in your ears. And if you're a high-stakes player at any of those games that Ben just mentioned, high-stakes player, you want some high-stakes action, they got you covered at 7 Mile Casino.
Yeah, absolutely. It is not just close to get to, and that's big because, I mean, think about it. If you go to the game today, you're not going to want to drive another 50, 55 minutes out to the East County. It's just 7 minutes to 7 Mile Casino, but it's also just a beautiful space, great patio right there on San Diego Bay. You can enjoy it with friends, enjoy the TVs throughout the space. Smoke-free Woods loves that. No slot machines. Everything about it is just the best. I've been to other card rooms. I haven't found one I like better than the one at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Sour 97 Through the Fan is brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. We are now just minutes away from the Jackson Merrill Contract Extension News Conference at Petco Park. And to set the scene, let's go out to the auditorium at Petco Park where our Sam Levitt is standing by for his live coverage. Sammy, what's going on in the room right now? Are people anticipating some great stuff here today?
Good morning, guys. Very exciting day here at Petco Park. What a first week it's been, right? 6-0 start, opportunity to make it a perfect homestand today, and now signing just a terrific young player to an extension. Media filing in here, some of the members of the Padres coaching staff already here. Wouldn't be surprised to see some Padres players also show up here at some point, and then we're expecting AJ Preller and Jackson Merrill to arrive here in the next 6-7 minutes, have a press conference, and then we will have a live one-on-one interviews with at least Jackson Merrill and AJ Preller, who knows on these days, maybe some others as well. So very exciting, and we're getting ready for it here at the auditorium at Petco Park.
It absolutely blows my mind, Sammy, that in that very same room, what, just over a year ago, we went down as a show to meet Mike Schilt for the first time. And walking up to the press conference, I noticed a kid walk by with a girl on his arm and a bag full of gear and a broccoli haircut. And he walked by me, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I said, son of a bitch, that's Jackson Merrill.
Hi, what, this is Jackson Merrill.
What is he doing here? So I stopped about 50 yards past him, Jackson, and he turned around and looked. Walked up, Paulie and I said hello.
He like grabbed me and pulled me, like, is that Jackson Merrill?
Yeah.
I'm like, I think so.
I said, I'm going to say something.
He had like a team store bag buying his own jersey.
Girlfriend, yeah. And I, Jackson, whips his head around, walked up, said hello, introduced ourselves. And today, that young man will walk in that very same room and sign this contract extension to be here for the next 10 years.
The days of semi-anonymity in San Diego, are we saying, are over?
Jackson Merrill? If I had told that kid that day, hey, bud, by the way, your jersey's going to be flying off the shelves. You're going to finish second place in the Rookie of the Year this season, by the way. You know, in like 9 months, you're going to finish second in Rookie of the Year. You guys are going to go to the postseason in your first year. Then you're going to sign a contract extension 6 games into the next year for over $100 million. What would that kid have said to me? He would have punched me in the face, thought I was some meth head on the street. Like, it's crazy how quickly this has all happened.
It's an unbelievable year and a half, and really 13 and a half months. I mean, let's think about it. He shows up at spring training last year, finds out he's playing center field, had never played there in his life, and a guy who, let's be honest, had relatively little upper-level minor league experience. I think we all had questions, and I don't know if doubts is the right word. Certainly, I would never doubt Jackson now, but at the time, questions about whether he would be able to handle big league pitching day after day, play center field, all these things the Padres were putting in front of him. And Woodsy, I'm with you. You fast forward now a year, 13 and a half months, whatever it is, for him to now be entering this room, signing this kind of contract, committing to San Diego, and being one of the faces of the franchise, and just being such an outstanding player, outstanding young man, already feeling like a leader inside that clubhouse. It's remarkable how quickly this has happened, and all the credit goes to Jackson Merrill, right? I mean, he's come here, he's said all the right things, he's done all the right things, and I'm just so happy for him and for his family. He's earned this, he has, and he has answered every question we ever had, going back to last spring training, when I think we all kind of wondered what it would look like, and from that moment on, it's been pretty special.
All right, Sammy, you're in position. We'll probably come back to you in just a couple of minutes or so, but we'll let you get ready and all the one-on-one interviews that we'll have coming up later this hour here on 97.3 The Fan, our commercial-free coverage of Jackson Merrill's news conference ahead. And Sammy, we'll talk to you again tomorrow or Friday.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Sam Levitt is on the scene for us, and we will be tossing out back to the auditorium in just a couple of minutes as soon as we get word that that Don Orsillo is standing by and the press conference is getting underway. And then after that, Jackson Merrill will head back down to the clubhouse and the field, where the Padres will wrap up their season opening 7-game homestand, looking to go 7-0 with one more win against the Cleveland Guardians. Dylan Cease on the mound, making his second start. Cease had a lot of swing and miss, remember, in his first start, but kind of like Michael King, not that efficient. Didn't get through, four and a third in his first outing. Padres did end up winning, of course, that game against the Atlanta Braves. And hopefully he'll be on the same trajectory as Michael King. A little more dialed in today. Could spell trouble again for the Cleveland Guardians if that's the case.
Yeah, buddy. When does this thing start? Just a couple minutes?
Just a couple minutes. As soon as Don Orsillo walks to the podium, we will be heading back to the auditorium at Petco Park for all the ceremonies and whatever they have going on. Hear some words from AJ Preller and hear from Jackson Merrill himself coming up in just a couple of minutes.
I am looking for the picture we took that day, Paulie. I don't have it. Do you have it?
I do.
It is remarkable.
Somewhere. It's crazy, man.
When you think about it. That wasn't that long ago.
I mean, bro, he was.
It was 15 months ago, maybe 16 months ago.
Yeah.
When Mike Shildt was introduced, and I remember we all walked in that day to that same auditorium, and you guys had said, oh, you know, we just ran into the Jackson Merrill. And I go, I don't know that I would have even known exactly what he looked like if I ran into him on the street.
Yeah.
Not going to be the case anymore in San Diego for the rest of his career.
Yeah, it's what a year and a half for that kid. Unbelievable. And now signing this extension. Great move. Really happy for him. Just a kid with his head on straight, certainly, man. And just the way that he plays the game is really, really inspiring. Plays very, very hard. Wants to be the best teammate. Wants to be the best player. It's amazing.
Yeah. Did you see the quote after the game last night? It's like, oh, no, we don't just want to win.
We want to beat their ass.
We want to kick their,
all over the
field.
You can say ass.
I don't think we can.
You can.
Pretty sure we can.
Yeah, you can.
You definitely can.
You can. You just choose not to. But you'll say, I like it creamy, but you won't say ass on the radio, which has always been a weird thing for me to...
I heard Chris getting a little uncomfortable yesterday when Matt Scravey used the P word. He said, you can say, I pricked my finger, but you can't say, fingered my P word.
Oh, my God, Ben.
And he said there's a difference. It's all about context.
It is.
On the radio.
Yeah.
You have to be a little bit careful sometimes.
You do. Did he say the word on the...
He didn't. No, he said you can't say that word,
okay,
Matt, in that context at least. You can say the word, obviously, but it's not a dirty word.
Right.
It's just the context in which you're using the word changes the word.
It really does. Really does.
Like if I took a trip to the Grand Canyon and went on one of those tours, and they said you can ride this ass down the mountain,
right?
Down to the bottom and all the way back up. That context is absolutely fine. That's an animal. That's the name.
What if your wife said you could ride this ass all the way to the bottom?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's the same thing, right? Is it not? I thought it was. It's the exact same thing.
We're in that awkward stage of could start any second.
Why are you
second.
Red? Why are you all red right now? That's what I want to know.
Could start any second. Don, come on. Just
Don's hearing us. Don's
Hurry.
Hearing us in his
probably,
ear.
They're probably playing this over the speakers inside that auditorium.
I hope not.
little pre-press conference entertainment for everybody at Petco Park.
Exactly.
I always think it's, I mean, what, like, they play Tony and Jesse when you're at the games.
Yeah. Glad they don't play us.
Yeah, can you imagine if they're just playing our show
just
people
while they
are
wait.
Walking around the entire time before the game at Petco Park?
Riding asses down to the Grand Canyon. Oh, God. Here we go.
But, yeah, so busy day now at Petco Park with, press conference, game, getaway day. They're all packed, and we'll head to Chicago after the game today for their first road trip. The old Chicago-Sacramento. We are ready. All right, let's head to Don Arcillo, our master of ceremonies.
Special day from Petco Park. We'd like a warm welcome today to our viewers and to our listeners, both on Padres.com and 97.3 The Fan. We are incredibly excited to be here to officially announce the new 9-year contract for our all-star center fielder, Jackson Merrill. Alongside Jackson on the stage this morning are Padres President of Baseball Operations and General Manager A.J. Preller, and Padres Manager Mike Shildt. We'll begin today's program with opening remarks from A.J. and Jackson before we open it up to all of your questions. At this time, A.J., take it away.
Thanks, Don. Obviously here today to announce the signing of Jackson to a 9-year contract extension. I want to highlight Jackson's representatives that are here today, Drew Hardy, Josh Knipp, Gabe Mayorga, Jackson's girlfriend, Sammy Quinn. Jackson's parents, Josh and Jenny, are back in Maryland, but look forward to seeing them here in a week or so when they're here to be here for Jackson when he gets recognized for the Silver Slugger last year. Obviously, a super exciting day for our organization, and for Jackson. I know he doesn't love the attention always on himself, but it's a day to celebrate Jackson and his commitment to the Padres. And also top to bottom for our organization, huge day today. I want to recognize from a scouting standpoint, it obviously starts with bringing in very talented players and individuals into the building. In a time where it's really tough to find diamonds in the rough and under the radar players, just a lot of information out there. And honestly, Jackson was a guy that a lot of teams didn't have targeted as a first round type talent. And Danny Sater, an area scout that rang the bell. Jake Koenig, one of the first people that talked about Jackson, somebody that needed to be on our radar. Luke Merton, Mark Connor, David Post, Logan White, all a huge part of Jackson sitting up here today with the Padres. You've got to turn over elite talent to a player development system that puts him in an environment that he can continue to grow and learn from. And, you know, the ability to play for Eric Young as first manager at Lake Elsinore, where he won a championship, not surprisingly. Riley Westman, Vinny Lopez, Chris Kemp, Mike McCoy, Pat O'Sullivan from the hitting standpoint. All those guys want to recognize they have a big role in Jackson being up here today as well. And the big league staff, Mike Schilt, understanding that development always continues at the major league level, whether you're 20 years old breaking in Korea or you're in your 30s. Development never stops. And for Schilty and his staff, many of whom are out here today in the crowd, really a great accomplishment. One, to be open-minded to having a young player like Jackson on the club, but understanding what it takes to break a player into the big leagues and continue to give him nuggets and guidance to look up and in very quick time have him be a player that's a huge part of the Padres organization. So huge for me personally. Thanks Schilty and the group, because it's a big part of us being here. And lastly, ownership. I know Peter would be very proud of a day like today. We talk about all the time commitment to excellence and having a core group of players. First, you need players with and a staff with a lot of ability, and then you need stability. I think the process over the last few weeks and months with John Seiler, Eric Kutsenda, Eric Grubner, Nick Ennis and Josh Dunn is a fun process, going back and forth and throwing different ideas out there and looking out and being able to talk to the fans of San Diego that were, again, it's been here since I've been in this spot, that it's fully committed to winning a World Series and adding elite players and elite talent in that pursuit. I do want to highlight Nick Ennis. I think over the last few years we've had a couple different opportunities where we tried to talk to Jackson about a day like today. Nick's rapport with Drew and Josh and constant feedback back and forth, creative ideas. This is kind of his baby in terms of this concept, and we definitely would not be here without the work that Nick and Josh did on this front. So, in terms of like personally, I think it's I kind of think back to first time I saw Jackson play baseball. I kind of was trying to sneak into Severna Park area, see him on the road, not try to bring any attention to myself or mainly to Jackson. So I thought I had a good spot, road game, a sit in a football stadium a couple hundred yards away to watch Jackson play baseball. And it was like right after COVID, so a security guard came and grabbed me and said, "You have to leave here. You can't be in this area." So I was kind of getting escorted out. All these people were like looking to see what was going on. And this one dad was like, "Hey, are you a scout?" I was kind of like, "Not really, but I guess so." And he said, "You must be here to see Jackson Merrill." I was like, no, I'm here to see John Smith, the shortstop." And he's right away, he said, "Well, that's his dad right there. Josh, come over. Come meet this guy." So then for 20 minutes, me trying to be incognito, I'm now talking to Jackson's dad and, just kind of picking his brain about everything. And at the end, he's kind of like, "What's your name again?" I do one of those things. And so that was probably a bad covert mission. But I think the biggest thing that came out of that day from a couple hundred yards away, and I said this a few times, I remember calling Josh Stein and just saying that, I probably saw the most competitive player I've seen in a few years. And to see a guy that, I think you think about it and you're like, well, doesn't everybody want to win baseball games? But it hits you in the face that this guy wants to win. As much as anybody had seen that year in the draft, and we've all seen that in the Padre organization over the last few years. So I think the other Jackson story real quick was we end up drafting him day one. Chris Kemp calls me up, and he's doing some things in the player development department. And he says, 7 a.m., he gets a call from Jackson Merrill, says, "Hey, can I come over and when are the cages open? I want to go over to the complex and hit in the cages." And I'm going to bring James Wood with me, another one of the great talents in the game. So it's pretty cool. I think, you select players and you look back after the draft, did we get the right guy? I think it was pretty clear from day one. Yeah, we've got a guy that wants to be great. So last thing, in terms of the last couple months, we've had a lot of conversations. And You know, I think, you know, seeing what's important to Jackson, what's important for him in terms of, you know, if he wants to make a commitment to the organization, he's been very straightforward, very clear. Pat O'Sullivan asked today when we were walking in, you know, to me, he said, hey, was it a tough process? Honestly, it wasn't. I mean, I think in a large part, Jackson's representatives are very clear and straightforward, but Jackson's a very mature person. He knows what he wants, and he was very clear in terms of, I want to be able to take care of my family, you know, for years to come, and I want to do it in a way that I can, there's going to be a great team built around me. So again, I think from our standpoint, I think the message that Shilty and myself have always given to Jackson is be yourself, continue to be yourself. And, you know, that's the guy that, you know, stays nine innings in spring training games. That's the guy, that's the first guy in the locker room every single day. Usually the last guy to leave still in his uniform, usually pretty dirty. I think for all those reasons.
Listening to live coverage of our the Jackson Merrill press conference into talking about his nine-year contract extension this morning on 97.3 The Fan. A.J. Preller first at the podium. Lost a little audio feed. We'll try to get it back as soon as possible. Paulie will give me a thumbs up. But here we go.
Organization, family members, agents, everybody that's around me. I think that was the biggest part of getting here to this point today. I couldn't be more grateful for the work we put into this at Field 2. As you can see, it's displaying really well. And
oh,
this is exactly where I want to be.
All right, continuing with some audio difficulties, but we'll continue to monitor the feed. Perfect timing, of course, right as Jackson Merrill is taking the microphone. And we still don't have it back. All right, Paulie, well, you keep monitoring. I'll keep talking. Woodsy, of course, stepped out for a second, and hopefully he'll come back in just a moment and help rescue us. Some good stuff from A.J. Preller telling the story of the first time he went and scouted Jackson in person and trying to stay incognito and doing the whole...
It's not just us. This is actually happening
at the
podium.
So also on the Padres TV feed as well. They're just having some audio issues in the auditorium at Petco Park, so I'm sure they will iron those out and get it all fixed. And
ready to blame Adam.
Yeah, I know, but you know, sometimes that does happen, even in the year 2025 technology.
And yeah, that was a true story. My dad thought he was international scout for about a year. But no, all in all, I'm super, super excited to keep going to work, keep going to battle every day. You know, the trust that's in this room right now, I've never felt it before, never felt a connection with the city before like I feel here. So thank you, guys.
Okay, at this time, we will take questions from the floor. We have microphones on both sides of the room right now, Devin and Tiffany. Just raise your hand and we will get to you. We'll start with Kevin Acey.
Jackson, you said this was what you wanted to do and that you didn't need to, that there was enough money, was just enough money. Like, what was it that pushed it over the finish line?
I think just even hearing, like, an opportunity to sign with the San Diego Padres is enough for me, you know. But I also feel like there comes a line where you know your worth, you know your value. I know, like, there's contracts out there that are beyond absurd. They're super amounts of money. But having a relationship with a real human being and a real team like I have here, you can't beat that, you know. You can't just sign for $700 million and want everything to be perfect, you know. I got people all around the clubhouse that are supporting me, supporting my family. You know, they ask about my personal life every day. So, you know, I'm just gracious for that. And I know that's going to be the same way for the next 9 years.
Specifically, like, since you've been in the major leagues, I know you wanted to be here from the start. But specifically since you've been in the major leagues, what is it that has made you kind of fall in love with this place?
I just think the energy always. It doesn't matter if it's the energy from the fans or the energy from the team or the energy from the coaches or people outside the field. There's just always a certain energy, always a positive energy here. You know, I've never felt a negative energy. Even when we lose games, it's just like, how can you be so upset about where you are right now? You're playing in the big leagues, you're playing in San Diego. Like, there's really not much to complain about. So I think just Shilty always says that winners find a solution, you know, and that's what we do here. So that's what I want to keep doing.
AJ Casavell.
Hi, Jackson. When you you said this, you knew this is where you wanted to be. When was that? When did you know that this is where you wanted to be long term? This is where you wanted to sign this extension?
I think literally from the moment that AJ talked to me for the first time before the draft ever even happened in 2021. The Padres were the first team that ever reached out to me, ever scouted me. They believed in me from day one. They tried to keep me under wraps. Like, I posted a picture on Instagram one time with an area scout, and he was like, take it down right now. Like, I'm having it. So, yeah, you know, they believed in me, they trusted me, and they wanted me, you know, and it feels good to be wanted. Obviously, I think everybody in this room feels that. You feel wanted, like, it feels good. So I just feel like they always had a certain trust in me. AJ's always been there by my side, just rooting me on, being my biggest supporter. So, you know, I think from that first instance, just talking to him, I wanted to be here forever.
What do you envision now out of these next 10 years, I guess it is, including this year, what do you envision accomplishing here?
Winning. And just winning only, you know. There's so much in a contract with money and all that, but my goal is to win. It's always been to win. It's always been to dominate with my boys on the field. And I'm just happy I get to do it for a long amount of time now.
Any Albert?
Just along the lines of the timeline, I know you guys were talking about things even before you played a major league game. When did things start to really heat up, and why was the timing right now?
I just think, you know, the timing was better for everybody right now. I think last year was more of a year to get my feet underneath me and play baseball. You know, a young kid in the show, it's kind of hard to manage a lot of things on and off the field. So I think just waiting, and then now I have so much confidence and so much ability that I think it was a perfect time, you know.
And then we've heard about the stories and talked to you about how you've been a big part of the minor leagues still and making sure that those guys are feeling your love and your care for them. How does that, this contract influence how you want to support that going forward, the rest of the organization?
Yeah, I think AJ and I talked about it too when we were talking about a contract in general, is that my involvement with the organization is going to be a lot more. You know, I want to be involved in the minor leagues. I want to be involved in the community. I want to be involved in kind of everything that goes on. I know some stuff's out of my control and out of my reach, and it's not my business, but there's also a lot of stuff that is my business, you know. Checking in on minor league guys is such an easy task. You can go on the MILB app and just look at stats, look at how people are doing. And it's also easy as just calling your boys or texting them, making sure they're okay mentally, too. Like, it's not that difficult to be pretty involved.
Marty Caswell.
Jackson, what is it like, the feeling knowing that you and Fernando Tatis will be growing older together for the next 10 years?
I mean, it'll be kind of funny. It'll be funny looking at him in right field every day and just knowing that it's going to be like that for a really long time. Toddy's been just like me. He's a kid playing the game. You know, he doesn't take things too seriously. He doesn't take them too light, though. You know, he's locked in every day, and he loves success. You know, he wants to do good, and I'm right there with him. I want the team to do good and want success all around the city.
You've talked about how supportive your parents have been. What was it like calling your parents on the phone or texting them and telling them about this life-changing contract?
To be honest, I told him yesterday before, like, anything kind of broke loose. I didn't know when it was going to, so I wanted to let him know. And, like, for me, like, until I see it right in front of me, there's no emotion, there's nothing. So yesterday I called him, and I was so chill about it. My brother was kind of like, hey, why are you so relaxed right now? I'm just like, I ain't saying anything yet. I'm not doing anything. But, no, they're super excited. My mom, of course, the most excited. She shows the most emotion, but they couldn't be prouder of me, and, you know, I'm thankful for them.
Dennis Lynn.
AJ, can you share when exactly you first talked to Jackson and his agents about the idea of a long-term deal in San Diego?
Yeah, we've had a couple attempts over the last few years, and then just re-engaged here, really going into the off-season. You know, this is something that obviously, you know, we're going to focus on continuing to build our roster and our team, but when we get to probably to the new year, you know, this is something that we're gonna look to from John and Eric and myself. When we got to the last month, we started to get really serious. So I think, you know, again, the last couple of years, Nick's had conversations with Josh and Drew, and then started the off season, sat down with Jackson and said, hey, you know, where's your head at? What are you thinking? He indicated, again, he was open to it. He really wants to be here. So it's like, all right, let us kind of get to our off-season business, and when we get to the turn of the calendar, we'll start getting more serious with it, and, you know, and that's how it all unfolded here the last couple months.
And Jackson, I'm pretty sure I'm right. You're still eligible for the prospect promotion incentive this year, and now that it's tied to MVP votes and you can help out both yourself and the team, what kind of incentive is that for you?
To be honest, I don't even know what that is.
If you had won Rookie of the Year last year, you wouldn't got that draft pick.
Yeah. I did know about that. I just didn't know that was the name of it. But, no, I'm going to play hard every day. I'm going to play for a win. That's what I did last year. It's what I'm going to do every day this year. It's so much easier than playing for stats, playing for a prospect, whatever it's called. You know, you're here to play baseball games and win. You know, there's nothing else in this game that matters besides winning. If you don't win the championship, you know, then you lost. You know, if you're a little kid in a little tournament and you don't win the championship, like, you don't feel like you accomplished what you wanted to go there and do. So For us, it's about winning. I know that that stuff helps in the other side of things and trades and developing people, but for us up here, we're going to try and win, and then if that happens at the end of the day, it happens.
And Dennis, even last year when the Rookie of the Year vote came up, Jackson said to me, we were meeting in the office, he said, really want us to get a first-round pick. So it's kind of where his head's at with everything.
Darn A-Trip.
One for Jackson, one for Mike. Jackson, congratulations. I think it was less than 2 years ago. Your parents were with you when you were struggling a bit in the minors. I think your dad said it was the lowest he'd seen you. Last year you show up, you're in center field, kind of learning the position. Now here you are. What's it been like going through those experiences, getting to this point in relatively short time, and was there ever any doubt that it would lead to this?
I don't think there was any doubt ever. I think I always believed in myself to get to this point. I think, though, struggling in the minors for a little bit, it was good for me. The adversity was good for me. To bring that up here and to know that when you're struggling, it's not the end of the world and that you can still get out of it and still work your ass off and just become the player you want to become, I think that was the most important piece of it. I have to actually thank Kev for writing articles when I slump because it makes me play better. But sorry, Kev, no hate, but it's just if I ever slump, keep writing them. But yeah, just having the adversity, I think it was super huge for me.
And Mike, what has impressed you most with Jackson during this time that would make something like this a logical step for the franchise?
How long do we have? You know, you're talking about a real blessing. You know, congratulations again, man.
Thank you.
Really well deserved. Get the privilege to have known him for a couple of years now, and just you know, the talent is the talent. You know, it's clearly special. But what resonates with me is Jackson's authenticity and who he is as a person. That's what really stood out to me initially. When you know you've got that kind of character and that kind of mindset for other people, the organization, his teammates, and then the dedication for himself to be great and to go compete, it's very sincere. And then you couple that with talent. So, you know, it's a blessing to be with this guy and work with him. And privileged to be with him for the next several years. He's joining a core group of players that are very special here. He fits right in, and we're really excited about it.
Back to Kevin AC.
All love, Kev. Promise.
Sorry.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about Mike. I mean, some guys have said that, like, he was the kind of the perfect manager for you, allowed you to be who you are. You're his kind of player. I just wonder what he has allowed you to be.
Yeah, I think he's allowed me to be myself. I don't think there's any change he's ever distilled in me besides my position. There's really never been anything else I've ever changed. I came up, I've been myself. You know, we have a really good relationship where we can communicate on anything we agree and disagree on. We really don't disagree a lot. So it's really nice to have someone up here that's kind of like a father figure you can go to at any point in the day and just talk to and have at your side. You know, it's good to go get dinner with somebody as just like a friend, but then it always turns into baseball talk. You know, we're baseball rats. That's all we think about when we're not on the field is baseball. So, you know, it's really cool to have a relationship with a manager like that.
Back to AJ Casavell.
AJ, you talk a lot about, like, the window and, like, not 1 year being more important than the next and building for the long haul. Like, how does this deal, it seems pretty obvious, but how does this deal impact what you're trying to do into the future?
Yeah, I think continuing to add to the core group of guys that are going to bring a championship to San Diego. And I think also, you know, again, like, obviously with Manny Zander, you know, Jake, and then Toddy and Jackson, again, like different stages of their careers, different age brackets. You know, I think just want to make sure we talk about it all the time as a leadership team that when fans of San Diego buy a ticket, they know who they're going to come see. They know they're going to see excellence. They're going to see something special. And Jackson's added to that big time here in the last few years and throughout the system. And I think having players that are spaced out a little bit, that was all part of what we talked about. But you just need, like, outstanding players that are championship caliber guys, and Jackson's clearly one of those.
And then if you could go back to that day in Severna Park, like, what do you remember about actually watching Jackson? Like, what did you see that day?
Yeah, I think, again, like, you know, obviously the ability, you know, he's a shortstop, so that's a good start. But, you know, I mean, he's a guy that could impact the game, two-way player, offense, defense, you know, the contact skill. But I think the biggest thing, I think, you know, calling up Luke Merton and Josh and David Pose, just the intangible, like that factor of just somebody that makes others around him better. He enjoyed being with his boys, like enjoyed being, you know, now, you know, you see guys that go to prep school, go to different academies, guys are kind of, you know, they know they're going to be drafted high and they're kind of playing to, you know, to the draft, et cetera. You know, I think with Jackson, the biggest thing that you see, everybody sees it, you know, like every single day, is he's there just to go have fun and go win a baseball game. And that was pretty clear from the first time we all saw him.
Annie?
Just one. I know you're a baseball rap, but just having this long-term contract, does it give you a chance to exhale, maybe go to the zoo, put down roots here, just enjoy it a little bit more? What does it do for you personally?
I exhaled last year when I just made the team. You know, you're on the team. That's all that matters to me. Everybody asks where I want to hit in the lineup, and I don't care. You know, I'm in the lineup. That's all that matters to me. So, you know, being on a big league field every day, that's enough of an exhale for me. I'm here. I'm breathing. I'm smooth. I'm happy to be here and play baseball, you know. I think talking about high school, it's like I was never playing to get drafted. I was never playing to go to college. I was playing to win. Like, I was playing to win high school baseball games, and that was my whole goal. You know, I didn't think about after high school. I didn't think about anything. I was just playing. So it's the same thing. You know, I wasn't thinking about this when I was playing baseball all last year. I was thinking about winning and helping us win a championship. So, yeah, that's all I'm thinking about is winning.
Jackson, congratulations. Selfishly, I'm looking forward to, for the next decade, calling Merrill Madness. Congratulations.
Live coverage of the Jackson Merrill contract extension news conference. And don't go anywhere, because in just a couple of moments, we'll head back out and Sam Levitt's going to do some one-on-one interviews. We're going to continue commercial-free here on 97.3 The Fan. Woods, just some initial thoughts on what you heard from AJ and Jackson.
Just almost brought me to tears. It's what you dream of. It's one that you believe in, one that you can trust. All he talks about is just wanting to win. He dies to win every single night and plays hard. I've never seen him take a playoff ever. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy that he's here. I'm so happy that he's ours.
I love the winning talk is going to sell just about every Padres fan in San Diego. Cares nothing about anything other than winning and being a winning player. And he did mention, you know, he probably could have held out for more money. He knows his value, and he's seen $700 million contracts, but he wants the team to be able to build around him, put a great product on the field, you know, around him. And, you know, in that sense, he probably did sign a somewhat team-friendly deal. You know, 9 years,
I don't think there's any question,
$135 million, you know. Certainly if he had bet on himself, he could have waited and got more than that, quite a considerably much larger amount than he agreed on.
It's pretty amazing, man. Pretty amazing, this arc for this young man. And if he stays healthy, sky's the limit for him. Truly, sky is the limit. He is, there's no ceiling right now. I mean, we haven't even seen it yet. So he's amazing. Amazing to watch. Amazing for you know, my kids really love, they love all the players on the team. But Manny, Jackson, Toddy, those guys, Crony, they love those guys. They absolutely love those guys. And to know, like, for, think about your kids, all the parents out there listening right now. You don't have to worry about Jackson Merrill, like, leaving to go somewhere else. You don't. You have 9 years of fandom. Buy that jersey, right? Wear it proudly.
If you're thinking about it, go get it. You're good now.
Right, you're good now. Like, that's the, that for me, having little kids, they go, wait, he went where? Juan Soto got traded? What's happening? It sucks. It sucks when their favorite players have to move on. My kids adore that guy, and now they're going to get to root for him for at least another decade.
All right, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, then we're going to head out to Sammy and Jackson Merrill next here on 97.3 The Fan.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
This is Fernando Tatis Jr.
Tatis tips his cap to the crowd as he rounds first base.
The Padres play here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, without further ado, here's Sam Levitt at the Padres Auditorium at Petco Park with a special guest.
All right, guys, thanks. We are live here at Petco Park, and right now I'm joined by Jackson Merrill. Outstanding job at the press conference, Jackson. Congratulations to you, your family. I'm so incredibly happy for you and incredibly happy that I'll get to watch you here in San Diego for years to come. I know you don't love to make things about yourself. You're all about the team. Is today, you can be honest, a little tough for you to make it about yourself for once?
No, it's pretty easy to just kind of be myself again. You know, I'm not really too concerned with myself. And in my mind, we got a ball game to win today. It has nothing to do with me or the contract. We got a ball game to win. We gotta get that record to 7-0.
Yeah, we'll see if you can get it to 7-0. Hopefully, you can. When you think about kind of how you feel deep down on a day like today, what are those emotions?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just calm. you know, I'm excited for what's going to happen, the future of this organization, but I'm also happy to just be here with my boys again and play baseball today. You know, I think if today was an off day, I'd kind of feel something more, but
yeah,
my mind is so wired about winning and playing baseball that I'm so focused on this game today. That's all I want.
Jackson, it's really an incredible journey when we think about where you were 13 and a half months ago, battling for a spot on an opening day roster, learning a brand new position. People, I'm sure, kind of wondering what they could expect from you as a 20-year-old entering the major leagues with relatively limited upper-level minor league experience. You've answered every question. You've answered every thought that anybody could have had about you, and today certainly proves it. How has your life changed in the past year or so?
I think it's just gotten a little more difficult to go out in public and enjoy my time with my family and friends and loved ones, girlfriend. I think it's not, like, difficult. I don't hate it. It's just, like, sometimes you like to go to dinner and just have your own little, you know, your little thing. So sometimes it gets a little much. But other than that, you know, that's part of it. Yeah. You go out in public, it's part of your representation now. You got to kind of just wear it with pride. You know, I love it. I love every bit of attention that I get from the fans. It's awesome to see the support up and down the city.
You mentioned the word pride, and it's so clear from the press conference that you never envisioned yourself anywhere else other than San Diego. How proud are you to be a Padre in particular?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I want to bring that first championship here. That's my goal, you know. And for me, it was like I don't need infinite amount of money here. I just want to play for a long time, play in a place I love, play with boys that I love, you know, and also give the organization an opportunity to build around. You know, I think as time goes on, as I get older and people start to get pushed out of the game a little bit, you know, yeah. I'm obviously younger than a lot of the guys on contracts here, so we're going to have to start making a little bit more contracts to other people. But, you know, I want that opportunity for other people in the league to come here and put on the San Diego jersey and represent us like I have.
Speaking of the contract, it does obviously come with significant financial guarantees. I've got to know your parents, Josh, Jenny, a bit over the past year, seen at the ballpark. What does today mean to not just you, but family as a whole?
I mean, I wish they could be here so I could see their faces,
yeah.
But I know how proud they are. It's a Wednesday, though, so they're obviously in school right
they're
now
school.
Teaching. But, yeah, I'm just so thankful for them. They've put everything on the line for me. They took so much time out of their lives, their 30s and 40s, to take me to baseball games, to drive me into North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, everywhere to play baseball. And, you know, I couldn't be here without them. So I'm super appreciative of them. Appreciative of my brother, too. You know, he's gotten me here. He's been tough on me, never let me win a video game when I was young. You know, he built that adversity when I was a little kid. You know, I was used to losing sometimes, so it doesn't really affect me that much. I hate losing, but don't get me wrong, you can't put your head down and let it sink with you. And then my girlfriend, too, you know, she's been a big, big piece of my life. You know, I think coming up, being in the big leagues as a 21-year-old, and, you know, everybody else is kind of 30 years old.
Yeah.
You don't have those off-the-field friends like you do in the minors. You know, you go home, you got roommates in the minors, you hang out with them all the time. But for her, she's been here every step of the way. She's been here to support me. She's wanted to be here, too. She loves the West Coast. Like, this is where she belongs. So it just felt right for everybody in my life.
That's wonderful. We have to thank your brother for beating you in the video games. Mm-hmm. That way you got here, and now mm-hmm. we see the player you are. You could have, if you had elected to, been a free agent in your mid-20s. We saw the contracts that were handed out this year, massive, massive numbers. Why were you okay with the idea of foregoing that and committing here?
You know, for me, money has never been an issue. Even in the draft, you know, I wanted to go to the Padres because it was the Padres. You know, I had trust in them already, and I had obviously other opportunities to go other places and take higher amounts of money, but to me that wasn't what was important. You know, what was important is coming here and proving to San Diego I'm loyal to them. Don't get me wrong, $700 million is like, wow. You know, it's a crazy number.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so is $135. Like, there's, in my mind, you're set for life, your family's set for life, your family's family is set for life. So it's just kind of huge for me in the future, my family, and how they'll be treated.
We're joined by Jackson Merrill after he signs a 9-year contract extension with the San Diego Padres here at Petco Park. Sam Levitt with you on 97.3 The Fan. What do you envision your legacy one day? It's a long way away. Your career is going to go on a long time. But what do you envision your legacy being as a San Diego Padre?
Yeah, you know, I think I've become really good friends with Wyatt Hoffman, Trevor Hoffman's third son, over the time in the minors. And, you know, we've gotten closer and closer and closer. And I've gotten closer with his dad, with Trevor, a lot. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. In my opinion, the best closer of all time. You know, you put him in San Diego, you put him in New York, it's a totally different story with how everybody represents him. But he's the man, dude. I want to be like him. You know, I think I've looked up to him secretly. I haven't said it or anything. I haven't given him too much credit because, you know, I can't do that. I got to keep him humble. But, no, but I love Trev and everything that he does for the city, and I just kind of look up to him, you know. He does the bike rides for the research. He does everything. So I want to be like that, be in the community, but also be the best player I can be for San Diego.
You've mentioned that a few times, the community. How important is that to you to not just be a baseball player but be a member of the San Diego community?
Yeah, I mean, you see the community at our games. It's 45,000 every night. You saw the playoffs last year. Like, it can eat teams alive and spit them out. But they're doing that because they love us. So in my mind, there's no reason for us not to love them. I know it's hard to love everybody. It's hard to autograph everybody's ball. But yeah, at the same time, you know, I'm there to do it and do as much as I can because I appreciate them just as much as they appreciate us.
Jackson, appreciate the time. Again, congratulations to you and your family. It's been so much fun to watch you grow here the last year and kind of go from opening day where you were making your debut in Korea, coming back to Petco Park, and now I walk around this place and I see number 3 jerseys all over the place. So it's pretty cool to see. Congratulations and thanks so much for the time. Now, I know you got to go get locked in for this game, so yeah. Enjoy.
Thank you, Sammy.
All right, that's Jackson Merrill joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. Great, great stuff from Jackson Merrill as he signs a 9-year contract extension with the San Diego Padres. Guys, we should be joined by A.J. Preller here in just a little bit, but for now, let's send it back to you in the studio.
All right, good job, Sammy. Yeah, Jackson, just such a level-headed kid. I don't think anyone asked him what's his first big purchase going to be. I can answer it for you. Nothing. Probably, literally, the answer is nothing. You just let the money go into his account at some point.
A new bat to work
on. Yeah. A new bat for Jackson Merrill. Maybe he'll try one of the torpedo bats. Doesn't need it. The bat, the ball already explodes off of his bat at this point, even at age 21. Yeah, A.J. Preller is going to head over to the table with Sam Levitt in just a moment. And I had heard that story. A.J. had told it before about the first time he personally went and scouted Jackson Merrill in Severna Park, Maryland during COVID. And he did not want to be seen. I mean, it's very A.J., very, you know, cloak and dagger, surreptitious. He does not want other teams to know that this is a guy he is really, really into, because of course that the word gets out and then all of a sudden there'll be 15 scouts at his next game and, you know, other GMs will get word of it and you could lose him in the draft because the Padres didn't have a top draft pick. They had what, 27th pick that year, I think, when they took Jackson Merrill. He was a late first round pick.
And sounds about right.
Saw that, you know, at some point the Yankees were thinking about taking him. They didn't. You know, and he fell all the way to 27. And part of that is, you know, throwing other teams off the scent. Because when you get a reputation like A.J. Preller does as a top scout, you know, there's going to be the copycats who just basically, your job is to watch who A.J. Preller is watching and figure out why he is so interested in this guy. And should we be more interested in him? Because we have the pick, you know, right before A.J. Preller. So let's make sure that we get the guy that he wants.
Right.
So, yeah, he goes trying to hide way out in the outfield. Security guard gets to him, and then his parents find him and go, "Who are you?" And, "Oh, I work for, you know, Padres. What's your name? AJ something or other, you know?" just low level. I'm a low level scout. Don't mind me. There's no reason I'm here. I'm here to see John Smith, the other player on your team, not Jackson Merrill.
How big of a relief, man, just to finally, it feels like, finally have the homegrown statue contract. I mean, I know Fernando Tatis Jr. did come up in the Padres system, and he's been a Padre 99.9% of his career, but he was technically acquired by another team.
True.
How many guys over the last 10 years, at least, in A.J. Preller's tenure have come and gone that we thought, oh, this is going to be the future. This guy's going to be the ace. This guy's going to be the face of the franchise. And they get traded or they don't get the 9-year, $135 million contract extension. It's really nice to have that.
Yeah, and while this contract, 10 years, it doesn't necessarily make Jackson a Padre for life. Again, he'll be a free agent again at age 31, after the 2034 season. But you never know. They could sign a, like with Manny, you know, you could get another extension long before you get to that point. So it was funny because he mentioned that one of his best friends has become Wyatt Hoffman, who is one of Trevor's sons and is in the Padres organization now, is in the minor leagues with him. And, you know, Jackson is, it's early, but, you know, they talked about the statue with Fernando Tatis Jr. He could someday have a statue alongside Wyatt's dad, Trevor Hoffman, at Petco Park someday, which would probably be weird for Wyatt. Yeah, that's my friend and my dad. together with statues at Petco Park. But
you know what? They win a World Series. Wyatt Hoffman can have a statue.
That's true, too.
If he had any influence on Jackson Merrill winning World Series MVP, give him a statue.
And how about the story from Jackson about thanking his brother for never letting him win a video game because it just made him more competitive and fueled his fire? Did not want to lose, you know, when he was starting playing baseball. He doesn't like the feeling of losing, you know, but it doesn't let him stop him. It doesn't let, you know, he doesn't get down in the dumps. He simply says, all right, well, we'll just come back tomorrow and make sure we have that feeling of winning. Winning and winning only was what Jackson Merrill said. You know, it was what was important to him going forward at this point. It's almost as though he did this just so he never had to think about it again. It's kind of like trust and will. Just get it done. You have the documents in place. You have the money. And now you don't have to worry about it. As he said, I'm taken care of for life. You know, yeah, he probably will make another huge contract at some point, but his parents, who are teaching today, so they couldn't be here.
Incredible.
You know, they're taken care of. They can probably think about a little earlier retirement now.
That speaks with Jackson. So highly of their character and how they raised Jackson. Because I tell you right now, if that's me, my 2 weeks, yeah, you're not getting that. I'm done. I'm retiring. I'm flying to San Diego overnight, catching the red eye. My son's signing a $130 million contract. Thanks for the last 20 years of my life teaching.
And, you know, all Jackson really cares about today is, you know, get win number 7. Get ready for a game. Yeah. Get back down there. I'm sure they did this a little earlier. Usually they do these like 10 or 11, but I'm sure they thought, now Jackson's going to want to get out, get ready, preparing for the game. So we got to get him back downstairs and ready to go before that.
I'd love to know like when this was done. And I mean like signed, sealed, delivered.
He said he didn't tell his parents until yesterday. So I thought it had maybe been done for a while.
I'm sure they've been talking for a while and they've been close, but like pen to paper, was it before yesterday's game? And then he goes out and drops a bomb? Was it after the game? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Just yesterday at some point he told his parents, probably before the game, I would imagine. But, and then he hits a home run, and now he has his news conference this morning.
Just had his bobblehead night.
It's pretty amazing. The kid is always up for the moment. I mean, we saw that with the clutch go-ahead home runs last year. There's no moment that's too big for Jackson Merrill. And when that day comes and the Padres are in the World Series, my guess is Jackson Merrill is going to thrive in an environment like that. You know, that's the kind of player that he is. He looks for the moments. He succeeds in the moments. And he handled this moment really well. Probably not his favorite moment, getting up at the podium and doing the interview with Sammy, but handled it really well.
He didn't look uncomfortable.
No, not at all.
He just looked like he didn't want to be there. He wanted to be in the cages.
Yeah. But
he's a robot, and I love him.
Yeah, he's all business, but he's smooth too. You know, he told some good stories and did his part. You know, the Padres need him to, you know, he's now a face of the franchise, and you know he's going to be there on posters and selling tickets for years to come. So he'll have to do his part in the community. And he said he's looking forward to that. Wants to be a part of the community and do more in San Diego now that he knows he's going to be there for a long time. All right, Sammy, I see him scurrying in the background. We got the camera still up. He said should be within the next minute or so that we're going to go out to AJ Preller with a one-on-one interview with Sam Levitt. So we're standing by for that. And then when that's done, we'll turn things over to Braden and the Braden Soprenet Show, and he'll take you all the way up to the pregame show with more Sammy coming up later today as the Padres take on the Cleveland Guardians at 1:10 this afternoon. Here on 97.3 The Fan with Dylan Cease making his second start of the year against Ben Lively, and got to imagine Jackson Merrill going to be hitting fourth again in that lineup for Mike Shildt as they go for a perfect homestand to open the season. All right, AJ, and then we did hear a little bit from Mike Shildt as well, just about, you know, I'm sure he's delighted. I picture Jackson and Mike Shildt going out to dinner on the road and, you know, or the spring training and just geeking out about baseball, because those are two guys that really just like talking ball, and that is their primary and sole focus in their life as baseball people. And
I remember,
you know,
somebody in the offseason said, I was at Bubs at the ballpark and I saw Mike Shildt and Jackson Merrill sitting there having lunch, just crushing some wings or something like that. I'm like, ooh, that would be fun to just sit right next to them, not say a word, and just listen.
Just eavesdrop on their baseball conversations, and they'll be having a lot of those conversations over hopefully the next 10 years. I mean, managers rarely last as long as players, but Shildt got his contract extension, and now Jackson Merrill gets his contract extension, and he and Tatis will be in that Padres outfield for a long time together. And then you look at the future, you know, they hinted at it, but the staggered stars. You got Manny and Xander, who are your 30-year-olds veterans. You got Tatis, who's 26, Merrill, who's 22, and then there's Salas and DeVries, your 18-year-olds, who one or both could be part of the next wave. Maybe in three or four years, we're sitting at another news conference and talking about an extension for one or both of those guys, and they'll be looking up to Jackson Merrill, who will be, you know, 26, 27, and Tatis will then be 30, 31, you know, where Manny is, and keep it going. And, you know, whoever AJ next has in the pipeline going forward, you know, there's some, you know, 12-year-old, 13-year-old out, you know, right now that might be the next guy, and that's the idea, is to keep the stars flowing every 2 or 3 years where you find another player like this. We're just waiting on AJ Preller, is sitting down right now. So just as Woods comes back in the studio, perfect timing.
We've been talking for 15 minutes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you text me? I would have come back.
That's all right.
Let's do a production.
We're sending out to Sam Levitt once again, standing by, this time with Padres President of Baseball Operations, AJ Preller. Sammy, take it away.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Joined by A.J. Preller here at Petco Park after Jackson Merrill signs a 9-year contract extension with the San Diego Padres. A.J., congratulations to you and your front office staff. Obviously, an excellent day. I thought one of the things you mentioned during the press conference, all the thanks you gave to your player development staff, the scouting staff, it was very clear to me that this is obviously very much about Jackson, his talent, his character, but also the ability to find that talent, to find that character, develop it properly, identify it. What kind of example is Jackson Merrill and this contract of good scouting and what player development can do with a talent like this?
Yeah, it's the lifeblood of any organization. You know, a lot of people say it, it's just the truth. And again, like we have a lot of players that are playing in the big leagues for us right now, whether it's on the pro, amateur, international side, and you know, key pieces of a good team, and then a lot of guys that are throughout the league that are impactful because, and again, we've been able to identify talent. And yeah, in this case, you know, I think the biggest thing was, you know, Jackson. Obviously, everybody sees him right now as, you know, the rookie of the year, early year last year, and one of the best players in the game. But he, you know, again, he was a little bit of an under the radar type guy. You know, he was going to Army originally. Mm-hmm. That was his original connection to West, you know, commitment to West Point, and switched that senior year to Kentucky. But our scouting group, to be able to identify him as a player that, honestly, when we came into this room actually for the draft, you know, he was at the top of our board, even mm-hmm. though we were picking at the end of the first round. So that doesn't always line up like that. But, you know, having evaluators that consistently have shown they're really good at picking players, and then a development staff that puts them in an environment where it's you know, it's 12-month a year baseball development. It's learning the game constantly and learning what winning baseball looks like. And it's a work ethic component that Riley Westman and his group puts him in. And then, like I mentioned, given to a big league staff where Schilte and that group, you know, can take a young player, you know, a 20-year-old shortstop and be open-minded to, yeah, let's think about him in center field and start him on opening day and continue his development at the big league level. There's been so much that Schilte, his staff, you know, has given to Jackson as well. Obviously, Jackson's the one playing. He's the one that's a super talent that's doing it out on the field. But it's a nice day for the organization to be able to you know, to highlight some of the people behind the scenes that have added to this day today.
When you think about where Jackson was 13 and a half months ago, you mentioned it, moving to center, making an opening day roster at the age of 20. Has he been even better than what you could have imagined in 1 year?
Yeah, I mean, again, like I think, you know, we've talked about it in terms of, you know, I think we felt like he was this type of player that had the ability to impact games and seasons this quickly. I mean, somebody that beats his draft class to the big leagues, and then, you know, pretty quickly throughout all of last year felt like just was improving, you know, each month and better as the year went on, and, you know, into the off season, into this year, the start of this year, just, you know, showing there's even more levels there. That's been great. Just the acceleration that he's had and the ability to be ready for the big league game. But, you know, again, I think we felt like he's this type of talent to do it this quickly on this stage on a great team. He's breaking into a team that's a playoff type team. That's a pretty big compliment to him.
AJ, one thing you said during the press conference that really struck me was that Peter Seidler would be proud of a day like today. How does a contract like this with this kind of player continue to go along with Peter's vision for this club?
Yeah, I think something that, you know, again, from the first day that I've been in this job, it's always been about the big stage and you know, putting San Diego and the fans. And, you know, it's I think it's cool to be part of a city that the expectation now is World Series, and you do that with elite players. And, you know, year after year after year, we talk about having a core group of guys that, you know, that the fans know are championship caliber, and when you come to Petco, you're going to see excellence. So, you know, again, I think that's the pursuit. That's what you know, Peter and myself and the baseball ops team, that's what we've tried to do here over the last decade. And you know, Jackson clearly adds to that. So I know Peter was always excited to hear about Jackson as a minor league player. He knew he was going to be one of these players that would be a guy that would, you know, bring a championship to San Diego at some point in time, maybe more as shortstop than in center field. But I'm sure Peter would be super excited about today.
We're joined by AJ Preller, Padres president of baseball operations and general manager, to talk about the deal itself. Reportedly guarantees Jackson $135 million, can max out at upwards of $200 million. I think from the outside looking in, it seems, considering Jackson's age, his talent level, what guys got this offseason, like a pretty team-friendly deal, like a deal that could really benefit the Padres and allow you to add pieces around Jackson, which is something he mentioned. How do you view the deal itself, the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, again, you're 21 years old and you're signing a deal for north of $100 million. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, like, it's what's important to the player, it's what's important to his representatives, and what's important to us. Yeah. So, you know, again, like, there have been, you know, you look out in other deals, Jackson Churio or Corbin Carroll, that are also elite talents in the game. They've signed for less than Jackson signed. There's been guys, like Jackson mentioned, have signed for more. And ultimately, it's what the player is happy about. Mm-hmm. He indicated from minute one when we talked to him, hey, he wanted to do well financially in a spot where his family would be taken care of, and he'd be taken care of, and generations of Merrills would be taken care of. And then he wanted to do it in a way that like, ultimately, you know, that he had the ability to make sure that we had, you know, the other great players around him. And you look at other guys in sports, usually it's the guys that win championships and end up in the Hall of Fame that have done that as well in other sports. It just speaks to who Jackson is, you know, mm-hmm. and the things that are important to him, and why we wanted to do this deal. And as we got into it, Nick and others and his representatives, we also wanted to make sure there was some escalation in there, and the ability for him to go out and earn more dollars and see a pathway to, you know, to the bigger dollars. And so I think we tried to check each one of those boxes in the deal. And again, I think it was a pretty clean negotiation because Jackson was very straightforward what he was looking for, what he wanted to do, and we have a great relationship with his representatives, and ultimately we were able to get the deal done.
A couple more questions for you, as I know we all have to get ready for this game coming up at 1:10. Padres going for a 7-0 record, so AJ, it's been a very good week for everybody here at Petco Park. How do you view your core of players now? Because you have Manny, Xander, some guys that are in their 30s already. You have Fernando, who's in his mid-20s. Now you have Jackson, who's only 21. You've got guys like Salas DeVries waiting in the wings, who are even younger. How do you view your core, top to bottom, now?
Yeah, I think they're all guys, the one common thread. They're all guys that have real makeup and are championship-type players mm-hmm. that have elite talent. And I think, you know, having, again, I think the ability to space out some players, and we talked about it there in the conference, we've talked about it, you know, internally in the roster build over the last, you know, 5+ years. You know, you have, you know, players that, you know, at different points in time, you know, hopefully, you know, some are ascending, and you know, that piece over the next, you know, just to sit back and every year, you know, hey, you're going to have Hall of Fame caliber mm-hmm. players like Machado, or, you know, like perennial all-stars like Bogart, and then a Tatis that hopefully right now is just entering his prime at 25, 26 years old, and then Jackson, you know, that's going to be able to play right along there with them. So it's a good blend, energy, youth, different stages of their careers. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, all of those guys are capable of winning MVPs and being guys that can win you a World Series. So, you know, I think as it all fits together, it, you know, we feel like it works in terms of, you know, having those that you know, those types of players under contract at different stages in their careers. And I think that's what we've seen here in the start of the year too, like the continuity of those guys coming together, and their games complement each other, and their personalities complement each other. We saw that all of last year. I think we're going to see that here over the next decade with those guys together.
Yeah, we've seen a real cohesion the first week of this 2025 season. I'll finish up by asking you a question that I asked Jackson. What do you envision, when it's all said and done, as the legacy of Jackson Merrill, the San Diego Padre?
I think, you know, that's for him to really talk about. But yeah. I think the things that he talks about all the time and we talk about as an organization is winning, you know, and doing it in a way that, you know, it's about giving back to the community. We have the best fan base in the game. You know, the fans are thirsty and hungry for a championship. And I think the coolest part, and it's done with our players and our staff, is the expectations, you know, from 10 years ago where it was, you know, again, like the, you know, get to the playoffs, finish over 500. You know, it's like that's right now that bar has been shifted. You know, the standards go win championships, be there every year in October. And that's what Jackson brings to the table. I think that's going to be his legacy as somebody that's, right. you know, day in, day out, that's all he really thinks about. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to bring to the city of San Diego. And it's a big reason why we're here today with the contract.
AJ, congratulations on the deal. A long way from Severna Park, Maryland, when you first saw Jackson Merrill trying to go incognito so nobody else was on him. Thanks so much for the time. And hopefully the Padres can finish up a perfect homestand to begin the year today. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Sam.
That's AJ Preller, Padres president of baseball operations and general manager. Again, a big thank you to AJ and Jackson Merrill. Very gracious with their time on a game day. Game coming up in less than 3 hours here. Great stuff here, guys. A lot of excitement. Great day for the San Diego Padres, the front office, and certainly the fans as well. Back to you.
Good work by Sammy Leavitt as well. Dave Marcus, Adam Klug down at Petco Park with all of our coverage. And we will continue with more with the Braden Soprenich Show coming up next. Want to thank all the Tier 1s who have been not just listening on the radio, but on our YouTube stream this morning, Pauly. What a huge morning. I mean, we started the show.
Unbelievable.
None of this had happened. And now here we are 4.5 hours later. And Padres living in another world with Jackson Merrill here
great
for the
day.
Next decade. That's it for us. For Pauly Reindel, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your day from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.